Hello, my name is Anthony Patch, and this is another edition of Pulse. Today is the 18th of November of 2024. A title of today's Pulse, the topic is Biden authorizes deep missile strikes. Now, this is, of course, with respect to Russia and striking deeper into Russia with Army tactical missile systems. This also includes the Storm Shadow cruise missiles from the United Kingdom. What is different about this is that back in September, Putin made it very clear, another red line, so to speak, made it very clear that should these missile systems be used to strike deep into Russia, which includes the Kursk region, which is what Biden has indicated as the primary target, is the Kursk region where Ukrainian forces in a so-called incursion, which is really an invasion of Russian territory, began several months ago, about 5 months ago. And those Ukrainian forces have been utterly decimated. They are presently surrounded by Russian forces, and those forces are the targets for these longer range missile strikes deep into Russia. Up to the present time, these Army tactical missile systems have been used on a short-range basis, striking near the Ukrainian border, launched out of Ukraine into Russia. But now the Kursk region is the primary target. These missiles have a range of about 190 miles. They are capable, if they are moved closer to the Ukrainian-Russian border, of striking Moscow and St. Petersburg. The issue with these missiles is that they can also be equipped with a nuclear payload, a nuclear weapons system. Presently, they are being used, obviously, with a conventional high-explosive warhead. The issue becomes how to determine whether these missiles used on a longer range basis, especially if they are used to target Moscow, whether or not they are nuclear tipped. The presumption on the part of the Russian military, of course, would be that they are nuclear equipped and therefore appropriate actions would be taken. Putin said back in September that if these longer range targets are struck by these missiles, they will take appropriate actions in response. So the issue becomes, what would be those appropriate responses? The worst case scenario, of course, is that Putin would order his military to employ tactical missiles within Ukraine and possibly with NATO targets, because Putin indicated that should these missiles be used on a long-range basis, this he would consider a declaration by NATO, by Western countries, a declaration of war directed at Russia itself. Up to this point, Russia has considered this to be a special military operation with respect to Ukraine. Obviously, the short-range employment of these missiles by the United Kingdom and the United States does require the use of U.S. and British boots on the ground. Up to this point, Putin has used restraint in so far as the shorter range targeting by way of these boots on the ground and not declaring this a declaration of war by NATO. But longer range targets, obviously, including Moscow, would be, in his mind, a declaration of war, resulting in a declaration of war rather than an SMO on the part of Russia. That would open up additional targets in Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and possibly even continental United States. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not a military expert, just observing these things and trying to do some armchair analysis. results in my thinking that additional continued restraint on the part of the Russians will prevail, providing Moscow, St. Petersburg, and the like are not struck by conventional warheads. I think that what Putin will continue to do is to push deeper into Ukraine, will strike the capital city with conventional weapons, the capital city of Kiev. The reports coming out just this morning are that a significant portion of the electrical power distribution, not generation, but distribution system of electricity in Ukraine has been destroyed by Russian forces, and that there are larger numbers of Russian forces that are amassing at the point of conflict, the red line, the line of scrimmage, if you will, from a football standpoint, massing of large quantities of Russian forces along the front lines. So a acceleration, a rapid push into Ukraine is being prepared for. I think that what is happening with respect to that buildup of forces along the lines by Russia is the reason for this precipitation, this escalation on the part of those handlers of President Biden to say, okay, if you're going to build up along the front lines in Ukraine, then we are going to threaten you with longer range targeting deeper into Russia. And again, to emphasize, this is really intended to attack the Russian forces surrounding the Kursk region in Russia that have surrounded Ukrainian forces. And really, they're pretty much exterminated at this point. But there are surviving troops that ostensibly this targeting will come to their aid. In the larger strategic view of the use of these missiles, even in terms of long-range targeting, amounts to little to nothing with respect to the outcome of this conflict. Russia will continue to prevail, even against all of NATO and the United States. So this is more of a political move, but it takes us to a discussion, once again, about the ability for President Biden to remain president. So as a brief discussion regarding the U.S. Constitution and Title 25, Section 4, I just want to say that you should read up on it. I'm trying to keep these Pulse videos very short to the point, but I will give you a reference that you can look at if you go to, let me see where I've got it here. If you go to the Legal Information Institute, this is law.cornell.edu, or any of the other scholarly references to the U.S. Constitution and the 25th Amendment, and specifically to the removal of the president, and I want to include in this discussion the removal of the vice president. The Constitution allows for a simultaneous, that's what I'm emphasizing, a simultaneous removal of both the president and the vice president based upon the analysis by Congress that they both are incapable of fulfilling their duties and obligations as set forth in the Constitution. And therefore, this would result in the line of succession moving from the vice president to the current House Speaker, which is a Republican by the name of Mike Johnson, a Republican out of Louisiana. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, we have Jungle Joe, as I'm calling him. The president is in the Amazon jungle, did a press conference, microphones in the jungle, announcing that we are sending money to South America to reconstitute, rebuild the Amazon jungle. Well, he finishes his comments, his prepared speech, with a backdrop of the jungle, turns away from the microphone, away from the press and dignitaries. Without a word, he turns his back to them and literally wanders off into the jungle. So, you know, you have watched on YouTube the little video shorts. I would say that would make a great video short. The president of the United States aimlessly wandering off into the jungle on his own. And then they can plead their case in Congress, plead their case for the employment of the 25th Amendment, Title 25, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. And I would say, in my humble opinion, the same can be applied to the vice president, the sitting vice president, Kamala Harris, based upon her past behavior, comments, and inability to answer questions in a lucid manner. And therefore, the additional, I think, insane declaration, authorization by the president for the striking of long-range targets within Russia, where Putin had made it very clear back in September, this is a clear red line, and could potentially, he stated, potentially result in the use of tactical nukes. There's no rational reason for the escalation against Russia and the further extermination of Ukrainian military and civilian populations. So again, there's a lot that can be said. We elaborate and go into detail on all of this as we did last night on Sunday evening in our live streams. These live streams are behind a private paywall. They are uncensored and can be accessed through subscription at anthonypatch.com. So anthonypatch.com is your source for all of the information regarding our live streams. We have almost 900 of them in the archives, as well as accessing our monthly magazine, Entangled magazine. And you have all of the archives dating back to June of 2017 by subscribing, by joining as a member through anthonypatch.com. So what I'm presenting to you, we went into detail that I'm not at liberty due to our cooperation with community standards here on this platform. We have our own private live stream platform so that we can speak more freely and into greater detail. Most of the live streams run about an hour and a half to 2 hours, three times a week. Okay. So I want to speak briefly also about the issue with regards to the border crisis, the illegal immigrants, with respect to comments made by both Donald Trump and his selection as a border czar, Tom Homan, who's a former ICE director and has over 30 years of law enforcement experience. And the employment, there's a lot that can be said about this, but the targeting of the cartels in Mexico, there are five principal groups of cartels in Mexico, targeting them by first declaring the cartels to be terrorist organizations, to be so named and declared by Congress, and for the employment of the U.S. military, again, specifically Special Operations Forces, Navy SEALs, Delta Force, Army Rangers, etc., active duty military, again, with the approval of Congress to do so, and in cooperation with the host nation, this meaning the cooperation of the elected government of Mexico and their military and law enforcements to work in conjunction with special operations troops to specifically attack the cartels with regard to their drug trafficking, especially fentanyl. We go into a great more detail in last night's live stream and Tuesday's live stream, which run at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday of each week. So Tuesday, I will go into greater detail regarding these cartels and the use of military force. But it is not only within the borders of Mexico, in the sovereign territory of Mexico, but in the sovereign territory of the United States, within our own borders. It is estimated, and Tom Holman has put this estimate out, there are some 110,000 known cartel members, who of course are illegally in this country, cartel members in the United States, that also need to be targeted in the United States, certainly by civilian law enforcement, but they're stretched thin. So this carries us to the discussion of not only the use of National Guard, but more appropriately, ICE and Border Patrol, but even more appropriately, and this is controversial, but the use of active duty military. Again, specifically special operations military forces internally here in the United States. All of this falls under, when you're talking about active duty military of any type, this falls under the constitutional prohibition in a law enforcement capacity, the prohibition of the use of the military in the United States. And this is referred to as posse comitatus. This, again, very briefly, I detailed this last night. We'll revisit it on Tuesday. But this means that the Constitution prohibits that. But it does, the Constitution does provide for the approval of Congress to override posse comitatus and allow for the use in a law enforcement capacity of the active duty military. So the cartel members, I have a high degree of confidence that they've already been identified. There is the necessity for, from the president on down, which will be President Trump, come January 20th when he is inaugurated, when he is sworn in, from the top down to authorize, to go before Congress for authorization, to back up civilian law enforcement with the military in order to at least, at a minimum, arrest what the military terms apprehension of these illegal cartel members and at least deport them, if not run them through our system of criminal justice. The issue then becomes, when you are already on the part of president-elect Donald Trump and his already named border czar, subject to approval by Congress, by the Senate, I should say, but that's a whole nother discussion. Recess of the Senate and all of that discussion. But Tom Holman already telegraphing to the cartel, we're not only going to target you in Mexico with the cooperation of the Mexican government, but we are going to target you here in the United States within our borders. That gives them the heads up, the cartel members. I seriously doubt that they're going to leave of their own volition, leave the United States. Therefore, much like the discussion of sleeper cells, there is the possibility that these cartel members will then be activated to commit crimes of all sorts, and even to the extent of committing acts of sabotage. Again, they're going to be considered, they are considered, but they will be formally considered and designated as terrorists within our borders. They will, of course, commit acts of sabotage, chaos and mayhem. This is something that we have to take seriously, come to terms with this, and assist local law enforcement through the use of the National Guard, ICE, Border Patrol, and active duty military, in particular special operations forces. I would also say that I would ask for our intelligence community, including the CIA, to augment these activities within our borders. Now, by statute, if you will, by congressional authority, the CIA is supposed to operate outside the borders of the United States, intelligence gathering, interdiction, so forth and so on. They are outwardly focused and directed. But I would say that upon approval by Congress, this could be modified so that the CIA, and in cooperation with other agencies like the NSA, be able to inwardly direct these intelligence gathering activities and apprehension activities. Now, this, of course, needs to be very carefully controlled and constrained, because you need to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So this could swing the pendulum to an ultra-right employment of these intelligence services. But again, we'll try to paint a best-case scenario here, if we can. Anyway, those are my thoughts today. I have a lot more. I don't want to, you know, run this out too long, but openly, it does serve as my invitation for you to join us for these longer conversations. We go into the facts, we back it up with evidence from vetted sources, whether it's scientific, whether it's political, whether it's economic. We cover a large spectrum of topics in our private live streams. So this is my invitation for you, if this is of interest, to join us in these conversations. And I appreciate your allowing me to spend a few minutes with you in these Pulse videos. I don't do them very often, but when we have a significant event that is unfolding, I try to alert you to it and give you at least my thoughts, my analysis, for whatever that's worth. And again, invite you to join us for deeper dives and deeper analysis. So thank you for your time. God bless you all.